everyone, Annette Nada here, and welcome back to another episode of A Course in Miracles with Annette Nada. Today, we're on What is the Last Judgment, and we're on Lesson 319. Now, the 9 in 319 is very important because it means that we only have 2 more days with What is the Last Judgment, today and tomorrow.
So today I get to just close my eyes and really have that experience of listening to you read the What is the Last Judgment to us.
Yes, we're all just going to, if it's safe to do so, take a deep breath, shut your eyes, relax and soak in the last judgment. What is the last judgment? That what is the last time I judge myself? So with that, just close your eyes, breathe deeply, and just soak it in. What is the last judgment? Christ's second coming gives the Son of God the gift to hear the voice for God proclaim that what is false, and what is true has never changed. And this the judgment is in which perception ends. At first you see a world which has accepted this as true, projected from a now corrected mind. And with this holy sight, perception gives a silent blessing and then disappears, its goal accomplished and its mission done. The final judgment on the world contains no condemnation, for it sees the world as totally forgiven, without sin, and wholly purposeless. Without a cause, and now without a function in Christ's sight, it merely slips away to nothingness. There it was born, and there it ends as well. And all the figures in the dream in which the world began go with it. Bodies now are useless, and will therefore fade away, because the Son of God is limitless. You who believe that God's last judgment will condemn the world to hell along with you, accept this holy truth. God's judgment is the gift of correction he bestowed on all your errors, freeing you from them and all effects they ever seem to have. To fear God's saving grace is but to fear complete release from suffering, return to peace, security, and happiness, and union with your own identity. God's final judgment is as merciful as every step in his appointed plan to bless his Son and call him to return to the eternal peace he shares with him. Be not afraid of love, for it alone can heal all sorrow, wipe away all tears, and gently waken from his dreams of pain the Son whom God acknowledges as his. Be not afraid of this. Salvation asks you give it welcome, and the world awaits your glad acceptance, which will set it free. This is God's final judgment. You are still my holy Son, forever innocent, forever loving, and forever loved, as limitless as your Creator, and completely changeless and forever pure. Therefore, awaken and return to me. I am your Father, and you are my Son. What is the last judgment?
Lesson 319. I came for the salvation of the world. Here is a thought from which all arrogance has been removed, and only truth is left. For arrogance opposes truth. But where there is no arrogance, the truth will come immediately and fill up the space the ego left unoccupied by lies. Only the ego can be limited, and therefore it must seek for aims which are curtailed and limiting. The ego thinks that what one gains, totality must lose. And yet it is the will of God, I learn, that what one gains is given unto all.
Father, your will is total, and the goal that stems from it shares its totality. What aim but the salvation of the world could you have given me? And what but this could be the will my true self has shared with you? Lesson 319, I came for the salvation of the world.
That's a very nice lesson. What I love about that lesson is, in a lot of the discussions we've had in this section, we've talked about that ego thought system and how that experience has been. And here it says, for arrogance opposes truth, but where there is no arrogance, the truth will come immediately and fill up the space the ego left unoccupied by lies. So once we're willing to let go of those egoic thoughts, then the Holy Spirit comes in and helps us to come from the love that we already are.
That's very true. Like, I even can tell for myself. So we had our discussion yesterday, like, oh, okay, I was created as the thing I seek. I am God's son. Like, I had a lot of resistance to that. But then when you shared, it's I as the sonship.
You know, I thought about this during the day. Can we just go back there for...
Sure, absolutely.
So I read this again. So I'm just going to read a little bit. I'm not going to read all of it. But so we're back. If you missed yesterday's discussion, you might want to go back and listen. But it's lesson 318. So starting from the beginning, in me, God's holy son. So to me, right away, that's the sonship. Are reconciled all parts of heaven's plan to save the world. What could conflict when all the parts have but one purpose and one aim? How could there be a single part that stands aside, or one of more or less importance than the rest? So we got kind of caught up in the I, and we took the conversation that way. But then when I read it again later on, it's talking about parts. So what we're talking about here is it just kind of affirms what we were saying, is that we're not talking about the individual aspects. We're talking about the sonship, because how could there be a single part that stands aside, or one of more or less importance than the rest? So the I totally is the sonship in that. Because we get caught up in the parts,
yeah,
in the individual aspects. So I just kind of, that came
and
up.
And we get caught up being a part.
We get caught up even thinking that that part is all we are.
Yeah, that's what I, right? Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And so I could tell that having that understanding just from our conversation, it did allow that... You know, the release of the sponge from our very first day, like where we can just, less tension there, you know, more openness. And that did just like flow right in.
Wow.
So having that understanding is like, okay, it's I as the sonship.
Yep. It's I as the sonship.
Not I as Ada. I as the sonship.
And because if you look at it from I as the sonship, there's no way you could ever go to one of us having more or one of us having less,
mm-hmm.
because that's a one, that's right. A oneness.
Right.
But then if you're talking about individual aspects of the sonship, then of course we could see that, but that's more coming from that egoic space. So
having that understanding was so important for me, because then it says, the truth will come immediately and fill up the space the ego left unoccupied by lies. Well, having more knowledge and understanding took that lie away.
Yeah. And that's where today, you know, like, so they're talking about in our lesson for today, sentence 4, the ego thinks that what one gains, totality must lose. So there's a concept in the course that I think is really important to understand, is that when we're coming from the ego thought system, there's a give to get sort of idea. I give to you hoping that I'm going to get something back. And it could, we may not even be cognizant of this. In fact, I think a lot of times we aren't. If I give to you, then okay, you're going to love me back, hopefully. If I give to you, then you're going to recognize me. If I give to you,
feel obligated to give something back to me.
Well, yeah, and there's a lot of different iterations of this give to get.
Uh-huh.
And what the course is saying is that what what is really true is giving is receiving in truth. That's the way it's, you know, taught in the Course. So when I give, I am receiving by the act of giving love to the sonship, returns love to the sonship. I mean, as part of the sonship. So there's not that separation. And yet it is the will of God, I learn that what one gains is given unto all. When I give love, the whole sonship gets love, and so do I. So it's not a giving to get at all. It's a beautiful concept, and if we could learn to come from that just in our daily life, the whole world would change. What I wanted to do before the last day of here of this is we never really had
the last day of the last judgment.
Yeah, we never have had a chance to talk about God's final judgment in paragraph 4.
Okay.
So just
yeah, we kind of skipped right over that.
Yeah, we've had discussions on all the paragraphs, but not that. So I just wanted to read that and just, you know, make a few comments about it, and we can talk about it. God's final judgment is as merciful as every step in his appointed plan to bless his son and call him to return to eternal peace, to the eternal peace he shares with him. So when we're thinking of the final judgment as, oh, we've got to be scared, you know, it's not that, because I believe that our Creator, which is only love, could only look on us with compassion, not punishment. But, you know, in the text, Jesus says, you know, we've done this to ourselves as the sonship, right? And to me, as love would look on love that has forgotten itself with only compassion. And that's why the Course is always saying, this isn't about punishment. This is, you're punishing yourself. And this isn't about judgment. You know, the last judgment is the last time you're going to punish and judge yourself. And you're going to turn to truth, which is to see yourself as who you truly are, the only way you could be. And that is the peace, security, and happiness that's in the paragraph above. But when we think of love being merciful and love being compassionate and love being kind and love blessing his son, for me, and then the next sentence, be not afraid of love. We can be afraid of love because we haven't really come to let go of all of our attachments to all that is not love. And when we can come to this place where we really see ourselves as who we truly are, meaning AKA the last time we judge ourselves, and we realize that love is only looking on us with mercy and compassion, and then we return to peace, we don't have to fear it, because it's something that surpasses all the understanding of this egoic existence that we have spent most of our lives in. And we've had that voice for love with us all along from the very beginning. For it, we're talking about love here now, alone can heal all sorrow, wipe away all tears, and gently awaken from his dreams of pain the son whom God acknowledges as his. Be not afraid of this. Salvation asks you give it welcome, and the world awaits your glad acceptance, which will set it free. So when I accept who I truly am, and remember, I am only love and there is only love, the world is set free from all of the ego pain. To me, that's just, it's more than beautiful because it helps me to know that all of what I was thinking of as pain was really my path to peace. Because I actually had to see what was not love before I could truly understand what was, what is love, and how did I recognize it is because it's already in me.
I think it's easy to want to skip over that entire journey and just say, well, I should already know what love is. But it is in that the contrast of here's what love is not. Now you can really recognize what love is.
And experience it.
And experience it, right. Because I think we also, I know for me, I'll say we, but I really mean me. we as people, we can get upset about, like, I think the form more of how the ego thought system takes place and like, oh, if I had a form that wasn't so bad, I would have more accepted it or like would have been better off. But it's really to really have that true, honest to God desire for the Holy Spirit thought system, which is love, to know that, to know what to know what the ego thought system is. Like you have to know what you want by also knowing what you don't want. Because really, when you go back to what the text of A Course in Miracles teaches, which is the Son of God had a tiny mad idea and remembered not to laugh.
Mm-hmm.
So we had this idea of the ego thought system, you know, separation from God. And we made the choice willingly as the sonship.
And we didn't go, oh my gosh, what a funny idea.
Oh.
we bought it hook, line, and sinker, and that's why.
Whoa, okay, that's pretty good. We're separate from God now, mm-hmm. and we like just went for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that it's the sonship's journey. Like God can't do this for us in the sense, like make the choice for us, because then you could say like, well, we didn't learn the lesson. Like we didn't then choose not the ego thought system. Still our consciousness as a sonship would just keep on, and like it does, just keep choosing ego thought system, ego thought system, ego thought system. When it needs to come from within the sonship, let's choose love now.
And that's where Jesus says, you know, in the Course that he can't take our fear away,
mm-hmm.
because that's not his position. Only we. That's our responsibility to take our fear away. So it's our responsibility to make that choice. And what I think is we're kind of given this model about we also, you know, like maybe we have to recognize what pain is before we can choose love. To me, we're given a model because we have to know the ego thought system voice. And then we hear the other voice and we recognize the other voice and we say, oh my gosh, that's such a different voice. That's not coming. That's not coming from this place that I've lived most of my life. This is my, and yet it's been there all along, right? But then there's this really stark difference between the voice for the ego thought system and the voice for love. And we then become very aware of which voice is speaking to us, mm-hmm. and from which place we're coming.
Yeah.
So thank you for that discussion. Tomorrow's our last day with What is the Last Judgment? And we wish you a wonderful day spending time with lesson 319. I came for the salvation of the world. See you tomorrow.
See you then.